It's that time again for Out Boulder's Boulder Pride Celebration, with events all through this week. Beginning tomorrow, September the 5th, there will be a screening of the film Real Boy. There's going to be a Facets LGBTQ Youth Talent Show, sponsored by Oasis. On Friday, September the 8th, there will be a Let's Get Physical 80s dance party. And of course, the Big Gay 5K will be on Sunday, as well as the Boulder Pride Visibility March. For more information, please go to outboulder.org. And stay tuned next week for another exciting episode of Outsources.
It's a minute after 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Monday evening, 7 o'clock, means it's time for the Opera Box. And this program is presented by the KGNU listener members and by My Local Music Lesson, enabling busy families and professionals to arrange for music lessons in the comfort of their own homes or at the location of their choice. My Local Music Lessons uses certified and fully vetted instructors to teach string, voice, and percussion lessons of various kinds. More information can be found at mylocalmusiclessons.com. East.
Kings and of subjects, he told us a tale, and thought that his nonsense would make us look pale. He came on the hills like a blast of a gale. Out on that ground, stalking his home in the...
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome. It's a smoky Monday, Labor Day. Welcome to KGNU's The Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. Tonight's Labor Day program is dedicated to the victims and first responders and all the people who all helped each other during Hurricane Harvey in Texas this last week. And towards that end, we're going to hear Aaron Copland's short opera, The Second Hurricane. It's an opera with a moral, and although it was written in 1936, it's a perfect moral for our times. Hold on to something and join me for tonight's Opera Box.
Was forced to surrender with shame.
Aaron Copland was commissioned to write an opera for young people by the Henry Street Settlement of New York. They're a nonprofit organization providing social services, arts programs, and health care to New Yorkers of all ages. They were founded in 1893 by Lillian Wald, a humanitarian and human rights activist who was herself a nurse at one time. Well, this would be Copland's first attempt at writing an opera. The 30s found America still mired in the Great Depression, and it was during that time that American artists asserted themselves as a meaningful force in society. By now, Copland was an important figure in that trend. His parents were Jewish immigrants from Russia. They went from Russia to Scotland, where his father worked for 2 to 3 years to earn enough for the boat fare to the United States. And then they changed their name from Kaplan to Copland. Copland was one of many emerging composers who made a pilgrimage back to Europe. And as many others did, he went to Paris to study with Nadia Boulanger. At that time, American music, classical music, was dominated by the German tradition, and American style hadn't yet established itself. And at that time, the country was experiencing economical and social turbulence. Copland's work on the opera thus represented the struggle to establish an American style, and his work reflects some of the social struggles of his day. The opera, music, and drama was composed with young singers in mind. The libretto was written by the American writer Edwin Denby. Interesting person. He was born in China. His grandfather had been U.S. ambassador to China. His father was an advisor there. But he returned to the United States to complete his education. And when he became a writer, he worked with Orson Welles and John Houseman in their theater. Well, this opera premiered on the radio, directed by Orson Welles, and it featured students and parents of the Henry Street Settlement. Then, in 1960, some 23 years later, Leonard Bernstein reprised the opera for his Young People's Concerts, which was a television series. And it was performed with members of the New York Philharmonic and the senior chorus of the New York High School of Music and Art, with Bernstein himself as the narrator. They later made a studio recording of that particular performance, and that's what we're going to hear tonight. Now, in Act One of The Second Hurricane, six students are selected by their school to represent them as volunteers to help hurricane victims in the devastated area in the South following a large earthquake, hurricane. To the kids, it's an adventure, but the parents are nervous about it. They're not so sure. The students will be taken by a plane that's loaded with supplies to distribute food and clothing and so forth to the victims of this hurricane. After the plane takes off, unbeknownst to everyone, a second hurricane is on the way. Their airplane is forced to land with the hurricane bearing down on them. The pilot tells the youngsters to take their supplies and goods and go to the top of a nearby hill where it's safer from the hurricane floods. The kids are dismayed once they get there, and they begin to squabble and argue, and they argue over who should be the leader. A young boy wanders by, lost and hungry, and one of the girls gives him some food. Well, some of the other youngsters become angry. That food was meant for the hurricane victims. Well, they don't realize it, but at the height of their quarreling, the second hurricane barrels down on them. Act One of The Second Hurricane by Aaron Copland.
Thank you. Ever had an adventure, a real adventure, something big and terrible, and you were a hero? Well, here are six high school kids who had a real adventure, and they were heroes, too. When our story opens, a hurricane has just struck, bringing a flood with it, and lots of people have been stranded without food or clothing or medicine. So other people from nearby towns that have escaped the flood volunteer to fly to the flood area and bring food and distribute the clothing and take care of the sick. Now, these six boys and girls have been chosen from their whole school to go and help. First of all, Gwen, because she was the first to volunteer, and besides, she's taken a nursing course. Then Butch, because he's the most popular and the president of his class. Then Lowry, because he has a radio operator's license, which can come in handy. He's a real bookworm, you know the type, serious. Loves to tinker with radios and things like that. Then Fat, because he's so big and strong. Actually, he's not very fat, and nobody knows why he's called Fat. He's just always been called Fat. And then Fat's best friend, Jip, because he's, well, he's Fat's best friend. That's reason enough. And finally, Queenie, because she's so pretty and smart and popular. So here they are, Butch, Fat, Jip, Lowry, Gwen, and Queenie, six excited kids about to have a real adventure. Of course, their parents are all plenty worried.
We don't know. butterflies.
Wonderful.
We'll see the famous flood. We'll be right in it.
I hope we won't be in it.
We'll go swimming in it.
Gee, I forgot my water wings.
The folks at home will see us. Our pictures in the papers.
Newsreels too.
Newsreels too.
We'll work day and night. They'll say we're wonderful.
Especially when they start off with the idea it's going to be a picnic. You heard them.
No, we don't.
If they really should go, if they really should.
But the six kids go anyway. Off to their adventure in an old-fashioned airplane. Remember, this is all happening way back in 1935, when planes were still pretty risky. Well, the children have gone, and for a while there's no news of them. Then suddenly there is news, very upsetting news. A second hurricane is on its way, and there's still no word from the rescue plane.
What's happened?
Terrible. What will happen? All right, let's see what is happening. The rescue plane has developed engine trouble and has been forced to land in the middle of nowhere. The pilot has gone on alone to try and get the engine fixed, and our six heroes have been left with all the supplies on top of a little hill, which they name Two Willow Hill, because it has two willow trees on it. Well, why on a hill? Because they've had the report that a new hurricane may be coming and a flood with it, so they'd better be on the highest ground they can find away from the water till the pilot gets back. So here they are, marooned on a hilltop. This isn't any fun at all.
What do you call this? I thought we were going to do some rescuing.
Nobody likes it any better than you do, Fat, so you may as well be quiet about it.
Oh, but it's dumb to be left off here. Just marooned.
Look at that river over there. How high it is on the other side of the levee. Look at it rush. All brownish. Gee, it looks mean.
You wouldn't think anybody could stand it living here. Miles and miles of nothing. Miles and miles, and only a brown river.
There's not a house in sight, or even a shack.
Suppose we have to stay here all night.
I don't think that plane is ever coming back. I just feel lost. Lost forever.
I wish I had a car and just could drive away. I wish I weren't so far and didn't have to stay. I guess I'm out of luck. It just seems awful dumb. It's clear enough we're stuck. I wish I had just back home, I'd have a day tonight. If I were just back home, I guess I'd feel all right. I'm lost and all alone, and awfully far away, and night is coming on, and I just have to stay. I thought I had a break. I thought I was a rover, but this is just a fake, and I wish that it was over.
Well, everybody's feeling pretty sour and down in the dumps. And soon enough, like all sour people, they begin to squabble.
I bet there's some food in that box. Hey, look, chocolate bars!
You're not going to open that box, Fat. That's for the flood victims. You know what the pilot said. Only in an emergency.
Cut it, Fat.
Well, isn't this an emergency?
Come on now. We've got to lug out that stuff. Everybody, come on, Fat.
I'm too hungry. I'm just weak. What's the hurry anyway?
Say, first you'd better help me bring up the crate with the radio. That's the most important for us if we get into trouble. Come on, Butch.
Look here, Lowry. I'm the boss around here. If anybody gives any orders, it's me. You go down there, and I'll tell you what you're to carry up.
You're a born organizer, aren't you?
Well, there's got to be some organization, hasn't there? Get a move on, Lowry.
This isn't the army, and you might as well find that out right away.
And to make matters worse, a new face suddenly turns up, a little 8-year-old farm boy who got lost in the flood. His name is Jeff, and like Fat and everybody else, he's good and hungry.
Yes, ma'am, I'm mighty hungry, And I saw you taking a heap of things out of that airplane.
So that's what you're after. Well, you steer clear of it. It's not for you.
It's not ours. We're taking it to some starving people in the flood area.
Yes, ma'am. But I'm starving.
Why wouldn't he want to eat? I do.
Aren't you going to give me something?
I'll set up the radio if someone will help me lug it up.
Oh, shut up, Lori. What's the use of lugging it up here and then down again?
Well, the pilot said so.
Show off with your radio somewhere else. We're sick of your little act.
This is the worst party I've ever been on. Everybody crabbing.
Then cut it out yourself.
Isn't anybody going to give me something to eat? Because I'm starving.
Safest place for you. Stick together.
Stick together.
Stick together.
thunderstorm's coming. If someone would only help me with my radio.
Well, I'm not gonna do anything unless everybody helps.
But nobody wants to help anybody. See, when people are scared, they act tough and try to be bossy. Nothing ever gets done that way. That's the trouble with our heroes at this moment. It's everyone for himself, instead of everyone cooperating, sticking together, and doing something. So with this big storm coming on, they get scared and they get bossy. Each one thinks he knows what's best to do. So they all separate. Butch goes down the river to find the nearest town and takes Jeff with him as a guide. Lowry goes up the river. The two girls go by way of the road. Chip takes another route just to be different. And Fat just stays there on Two Willow Hill because he's got a bellyache from eating too many chocolate bars. You see, he finally did get into that box. So they've all broken up. And at that very moment, the second hurricane strikes.
High school students who volunteered to help hurricane victims are themselves victims caught in the grips of an oncoming second hurricane. Act One of The Second Hurricane by Aaron Copland. And in that recording, we're hearing Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and members of the senior chorus of the New York School of Music and Art. It is 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with my Labor Day program dedicated to the people and heroes who endured Hurricane Harvey. And be sure to stay with me afterwards. I'll be your host on a Classic Monday with the ninth show in my series on the symphony, tracing the evolution of the symphony from Baroque time up to now, with music tonight of Tchaikovsky. That'll be at 8 p.m.
It's often termed the jelly sandwich model.
CU's Dr. Peter Molnar just won the prestigious Crawford Prize in Geosciences.
It's like the upper crust is one piece of bread and the uppermost piece of mantle is another piece of bread, and then the weak crust in the middle is jelly.
His dad taught him that if you really understand something, you can explain it simply. Learn more about the world around you on KGNU's science show, How on Earth, which airs every Tuesday right before Alan Watts.
Back to our stranded high school students. As the hurricane bears down and overtakes the students, they find places to hide until the storm passes. Back at home, the parents are worried sick, and without any news, all they can do is imagine the worst. Well, the students emerge after the storm, and now they have to figure out how to stay alive until they're rescued. It dawns on them that their only hope now is to cooperate and to try to bolster each other's spirits. Just being together and not alone makes them feel good, and their spirits begin to rise. They sing a song that they learned in school to help pass the time. And suddenly they hear an airplane, and they realize they've been saved. the parents eventually hear the good news, and even the newspapers carry the story. The kids determine to remember their lesson, stick together, and cooperate. They'll remember this lesson for the rest of their lives, even if they drift apart over time. Act Two of The Second Hurricane by Aaron Copland.
The storm is over. The two willows have been blown down on Two Willow Hill, and there's nothing there at all except Fat, scared out of his wits, calling for his friends. And by some miracle, they all turn up one by one, a bit damaged, scratched, nothing serious, and quite ashamed of themselves, because now, after the great danger, they realize how pig-headed they've been, and how much they would have suffered if any one of them had been hurt or lost or killed. And so they begin to take care of one another. Gwen does a little first aid. You remember she had taken a nursing course. And they try to blow up their rubber boat, things like that. Of course, there's very little they can do to help their situation, but at least they're together, and that's a good feeling all by itself.
Thank you.
can't make a fire. They haven't a match for a fire. All they have is a rubber boat. They can't blow up.
They know the flood is rising. They're hoping for a plane. One passed in the distance, without seeing them.
They can't make a fire to show where they are. Their only hope is a single flashlight.
Or the October morning, if they can last that long.
They know it well enough. They know.
Thank you.
Well, that's more like it. Everybody's feeling much better now, all friends again. But they still have to wait till the morning light comes so they can be rescued. Well, what would you do to pass the time if you were in their shoes? You'd sing, of course. So they all sing an old American revolutionary song they learned at school about the capture of General Burgoyne. The words are kind of old-fashioned and stilted, and our heroes probably don't even know what they mean. I guess we've all learned songs in school which we sang with great energy without understanding one word. Haven't you? I know I have. But this song about Burgoyne is cheerful, at least.
Look, they're answering us!
Look, they've seen us!
each wasn't trying to get ahead of all the rest. What it's like when you feel you belong together, when the sorrow making you feel easy.
The student volunteers have come through the ordeal of the hurricane. By cooperating, they're able to survive until they're rescued, a lesson they'll remember forever. Act two of The Second Hurricane, music by Aaron Copland. And in that recording, we heard Leonard Bernstein conduct the New York Philharmonic and members of the senior chorus of the New York School of Music and Art. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me for tonight's tribute to the people and the heroes and first responders who endured Hurricane Harvey. Be sure to stay tuned now for a Classic Monday, where I'll continue to be your host with my ninth program in my series on the symphony and music of Tchaikovsky. We're coming up on a minute before 8 o'clock, you're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
The KGNU Board of Directors reminds listeners that all our board meetings are open to the public. The KGNU Board of Directors meets at 6 p.m. on the second Monday of every month. We also have a Community Advisory Board that meets twice a year. All meeting dates, times, and locations are posted in advance on our website, kgnu.org. You can also get more information on KGNU board meetings by calling 303-449-4885 during business hours or by sending an email to board@kgnu.org.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell. And tonight I've got the ninth program in my series on the